Hey, welcome back to Those 80s Gays with Danny P. Warner. I'm your host. Funny that, Danny P. fucking Warner. How is everybody? I must tell you, I have just, I'm halfway through a work week from being back from holidays. This is my first week back at work, and it's like my first real full-length holiday in quite a few years, and it was good. 2 weeks off, I had my birthday, I had my last 30-something birthday, which was really, oh my god, next year's the big 4-0, so I've got to start planning for that. Do you know what though, speaking of birthdays and your age and everything, like honestly, does anyone actually feel their age? Like I'm an 84 model, so I've just turned 39, and let me tell you, most days, mentally, I feel about anywhere between 16 to 25. Physically, 55 to 80. Like, let's face it, the body starts to change a little bit as you get a bit older. But I just really struggle to reconcile sometimes that I'm actually 39, about to be 40. It's like, oh, I've got to be a real adult now. I'm a real boy, Mom. I'm a real boy. So yeah, that was a bit of a shock to the system, but never mind. It was a good night. We had a little bit of a party here, got some drinks going on. I actually didn't drink that much though. Like I probably had 1.5 bottles of champagne because I was too busy running around doing everything. Like when you're hosting, it's all about like go, 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 go. You're getting food on, you're interacting with your guests, everything like that. So I think by the time everyone left, it might have been like close to 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was friggin' exhausted. We were supposed to go out after that and go to the Wickham, had reopened, so I'm glad I didn't, because I reckon I would have got to the Wickham and probably fallen asleep. And from what I've heard, it was so busy and so packed that I just wouldn't have been interested. Plus, I've got my babies here. I've got my babies. I can't just up and leave my babies at home all by themselves throughout the night like I, you know, used to run around the valley gallivanting until all hours of the morning, drunk as a skunk, high on fireball. Can't do that anymore. And I don't really want to do that anymore. Like I really feel in the last year or so, I have really changed what I want to do and what makes me happy. And what makes me happy is just being at home with my babies and having friends over. I have dinner parties, things like that. So I really enjoy that a lot more than going out and getting, you know, shit-faced on the town. So I had my 2 weeks off. Where did I go? What did I do? I went to Sydney, actually. I had my birthday party, had a few dinners here in Brisbane, and then chuffed off to Sydney for just on a week, which was great. I actually drove down because I wanted to do a lot of exploring. So I drove down. I was a fairly quick drive down. I pretty much just drove early one morning. I left at like 3:30, something like that. And I really only did one stop. I stopped in Coffs Harbour, which by the way, Coffs Harbour is such a beautiful, beautiful area, but such a shithole at the same time. Like it's such a beautiful area filled with some of the most vile, disgusting people you could ever imagine. It's just such a way to ruin such a picturesque place. But I stopped there, pretty much had breakfast, stretched my legs and then kept going. I got to Sydney and I really freeballed Sydney. Like I'm normally such a planner and I've got to have everything planned to the, you know, finest detail and contingency plans for my plans. I've got to have a plan A, B, C, D. I had booked accommodation. I'd booked accommodation down in Sydney at an Airbnb in Double Bay. And a few days before I was due to leave, it cancelled. So I was kind of up the creek a little bit because when I went back onto Airbnb to look at other accommodation, like accommodation prices in Sydney had like tripled because it was Easter. So I kind of just ran with it. I booked accommodation for the first night in Sydney at Vaucluse, which was lovely. The place was really lovely. A little bit too far out for me. Vaucluse is just a little bit too far out than where I'd probably really want to be. So I just kind of went with the flow after that. Every day I would wake up and I'd be like, where do I want to be today? So the first night I spent in Vaucluse, I got down there, basically crashed out for a couple of hours and had a sleep because I was so exhausted from the drive. Then I went out. So I was supposed to meet friends on Thursday night, but they cancelled because they wanted to go out Friday night instead. So I was like, no, I'm going out. And I really wanted to. So this trip for me, I really wanted to shake myself out of my comfort zone. And I'm normally obviously planned. I would not normally go out and do something completely on my own. But this night, this Thursday night, I went out, hit Oxford Street, hit Stonewall, completely on my own. And I met some really cool people. I met some really weird people as well, but I met some really cool people and I had a ball. I ended up going to a friend's house at Double Bay and had drinks with her and some other friends for a few hours and then went home. And the next morning I got up and checked out of Vaucluse and kind of wondered where the hell I'm going. So I went and met friends at Cronulla. I went to the Cronulla Beach and met friends there for lunch. And then after that, I did some little urban exploring of places that I wanted to look around. And then I booked some accommodation. And because I was very, very last minute, I booked some accommodation in, where did I stay? Darling Harbour that night. And staying in Darling Harbour in a hotel was extremely expensive, but it was worth it. It was really good. Like, it was a lovely hotel. It was beautiful. I had beautiful views. It was fantastic. So I stayed there, and then that was Good Friday. So everything in Sydney opened on Good Friday at 5 p.m. and everything shut at 10 p.m. So friends were messaging me saying, we're all meeting at 6 at Stonewall because everything shuts at 10. So we'll figure out where we're going to kick on after that, but meet you at 6. So me being me, it's 8:15. I'm still sitting in my bathrobe, you know, getting ready and ordering room service. I finally made it there, but I made it to Stonewall at like 9 o'clock that night. So I had only like an hour up my sleeve to have a few drinks, catch up with everyone. Anyway, so 10 o'clock comes and we all spill out onto the street because the bars close. And my friends are like, we're going to this other club down the road. I'm like, okay. And I said to them, how come this club is open that we're going to, but everything else shuts at 10? They're like, oh, no, no, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Well, I walked in there with everyone thinking it was a nightclub. It wasn't a nightclub. It was a naughty men's club, if you get my drift. Well, I walked in, I basically like looked around and then left. It's just not my scene. Do you know what? I just want to go home some nights and have a burger. I'd rather go home and have a burger than try and pick up a bit of trade at this late stage of my life. So I did. I jumped in an Uber and went back to the hotel and ordered some more room service, had a glass of wine and pretty much went to bed. The next morning I got up and did some more exploring around the city. I did so much walking. Obviously had my car there, but having your car parked at a hotel, like different hotels and things like that, it's, you're constantly walking everywhere. So I was clocking up like 20,000 steps a day. It was great. Certainly it was counteracting the amount of food that I was shoveling in my face while I was down there. But I checked out of the hotel and then I went and headed out to the Blue Mountains. So I spent a beautiful night out in the Blue Mountains and then I came back to Sydney the next day. Still did some more stuff around Sydney. I ended up rolling up to Newcastle, stayed at Newcastle for a night. I took my time. It was so unplanned and it was so nice to just be so unplanned for once in my life. But I really took my time coming back. And I was kind of hopping all over New South Wales. And on the way back, I hopped into this tiny little country town called Stroud. It's got like 600 people to it. So I booked a room in the pub. And when she showed me my room, I was like, oh my God, this is like prisoner. Like, I was literally like I was checking into cell block H. It was worth it for the experience. And I have to admit, even though I was a bit horrified at the state of the accommodation, The bed was lovely. The linens were all fresh and clean and beautiful. The room itself was very clean. It was just old. Like, it was just old. The only thing I couldn't wrap my head around, I've got to tell you, was shared bathroom facilities. Now, I haven't shared bathroom facilities in, holy shit, since I was probably a teenager. Like, I've always had my own bathroom. So that was a bit of a shock and a wake-up call to me. Like, I went into the shower. I had the quickest shower possible. It was, like, in and out. And I wore my thongs, my pluggers, and I left them there as well. Because as soon as I got out of the bathroom, I was like, oh, I don't even want to touch you guys again. It was, the bathroom was really clean. Like, it was pristine. And there was no one ever else in there whenever I went into the bathroom. Granted, I only went in there probably 3 times. But just the fact of using someone else's shower, like standing in someone else's shower, I was a bit, like, skeevy about that. So that was a bit gross, but it was really cool. And they had a live band on the night that I was staying there. So literally all I could hear was a live band directly under me. Like, this is an old style country pub. If you get a chance, Google it. It's the Stroud Central Pub, I think it's called. I was obviously hungry, so I came downstairs for dinner and I had, you know, just a regular kind of Danny P. Warner outfit on, like my boots with my Cuban heels and my leather leggings and a dressed top. And when I looked in the bar, it was very obvious I was way too overdressed. So I quickly ran back upstairs, changed into like a pair of Canterbury shorts, Birkenstocks, and just to pull over and went back down. I had a really nice meal there. And then I went and played the pokies, got a bit of a win. So it was good. It was good. And then I kind of traveled the next day. I got up really early and traveled home. But I took my time traveling home from Stroud back to Brisbane. Like, I went inland to Lismore. I haven't been to Lismore since the floods ripped through. Multiple times, I think they've ripped through there now. And then I stopped in Bangalore and then Byron Bay. And I got to tell you, like, I remember going to Bangalore, oh shit, probably when I was like 20 something, very early 20s. And I fell in love with Bangalore back then. Like, it was just, I feel, you know, when you go somewhere and you feel like you're home. I went to Bangalore. It was beautiful. I loved it. And I think I'm destined to move there. I really do. I really feel like, I mean, I've got a remote working job anyway to some degree. I really only go into the office a couple of days a week. I could technically do a couple of days in Brisbane a week and then have my full-time home in Bangalore. I don't know, my mum lives in Brisbane, so it'd be very far away from her. And, you know, obviously she's getting old and stuff like that. So you want to be around when your parents are getting older. But I really feel ultimately like I will eventually move to Bangalore. It's definitely the place I want to be in. It's where I feel most comfortable. It's definitely the vibe for me. It's not as pretentious or built up as Byron Bay. I actually think Bangalore is more beautiful than Byron Bay because it's slightly back from the ocean. So you've got that beautiful, tranquil forest vibe. But you can literally be in Byron Bay by the water in 15 minutes. It's so close. So that's my ultimate goal, to end up in Byron Bay. So yeah, then back to Brisbane. And then I had to pick my babies up and grab them. And I missed them so much. Like, I get homesick really quickly. Really, really quickly. Like, I was missing the girls the first night I was gone. So, like, I'm a bit of a pussy in that respect. So my girls are home, and then I had a few days off before I had to come back to work, and basically it's back to reality now, which is kind of shit, but I definitely feel refreshed. I was getting to the point with work that I was so burnt out. I was really mentally burnt out, and physically as well. Oh my God. So I better tell you as well. I think on the last podcast I spoke about starting on the Ozempic. Well, I started on the Ozempic last Wednesday. I'm actually doing my second injection today, and holy mother of God, like, I now know how people lose weight so quickly on Ozempic. It kills your appetite. It doesn't only kill your appetite, it makes you feel full all the time. So I, for the first 4 days of being on Ozempic, I managed to eat probably just less than a quarter of a sandwich. And from that, I felt so sick. And so it made me sick. Like that quarter of a sandwich didn't stay in my system. I feel full all the time now. I barely eat. I haven't weighed myself, but I really feel like, listen, the scales might not say any different, but I definitely feel thinner and flatter. That's flatter with an L, not fatter. I just feel a difference. Like I feel a difference in clothes and that already. So I can like, I'm loving the Ozempic. It just makes you full. And I actually get a really good night's sleep now. Like I'm one of these people, I don't get to bed until like midnight, 1 o'clock. Then I might be back up again at 2 o'clock. Then I'm up again at 5 o'clock. And then before I know it, it's like 5:45 and my alarm's going off. So I sleep really shit, but it makes me sleep through the whole night. It obviously makes me sleep through the whole night because I'm friggin' exhausted because I've got nothing in my system. So I'm trying really hard at the moment to have a little bit to eat every day, but make sure it's very nutritious food. So like beautiful salmon, and make sure I'm getting some good greens and things like that. Like in the past, I was so time poor, it would be like 11 o'clock at night and I'd realize I hadn't eaten all day. So I'd just run through a drive-through and get a burger. Whereas now I'm just trying to have really nutritious food, even just tiny, tiny bit of very nutritious food just to keep healthy. But I actually gave myself a full 2 days just to be at home, basically doing nothing. Like I did a lot of housework and yard work and all that kind of stuff. But I gave myself one day, I gave myself a full day just to do nothing. I don't even think I showered. Like I just laid on the couch all day and binge watched TV. I binge watched, for any of you out there, I don't know whether you've watched it already, but if you haven't, please do. There's a show on Netflix and it's called Beef. And it's, I read an article about it saying how it was such a popular new streaming show and rah, rah, rah. And I've got to be honest, if I had have watched a trailer for Beef, I probably wouldn't have been interested in it. But I just picked up episode one and started. And it was so amazing. Like it was, it's nothing groundbreaking, but there's 10 episodes to it. And from episode one, by the time you get to episode 10, you are literally going, how the hell did we get here? So it's all centered around, it all starts because of these two people that have an interaction in a car park and have road rage. And it just grows and grows and grows. And it's like a bit of a cat and mouse. And so it's, I'd say it's a little bit of a thriller, a little bit of a comedy. Like there's definitely comedic elements to it. But, you know, like the thing it taught me was by the end, and I won't give any spoilers or anything, but by episode 10, where these two people's lives are at is so different to where it was in episode one that I think the message that resonated with me was bad things happen to all of us in our lives. But if you hold on to the negatives and don't let go of them, the negatives can just obliterate your lives. So you just, I think the overall theme of it is to roll with the punches a little bit and embrace and move on. You can't hold on to the negatives because if you're holding on to poison, you're only going to poison yourself. So that was really good. I also watched The Night Agent, and that was a bit of a random one for me as well. That's on Netflix. It's another 10-part episode. I only finished watching it last night. I've been watching it in dribs and drabs, but it was pretty good. It kind of reminded me of, if you ever watched, there was a TV show ages ago called The Bodyguard, not the Whitney Houston movie. It was a TV show called The Bodyguard, and I'm actually just looking it up now. The Bodyguard, it was released in like 2018. There was one season and it had 6 episodes. It's got Richard Madden in it, so he was gorgeous. The Night Agent on Netflix really reminded me of, or I had elements of The Bodyguard, and I really, really enjoyed it. It was great. And then last night we watched a movie on Netflix called The Strays or The Stray or something like that. And that was really intense too. It was almost like, Who's that director? Is it Jordan Peele? It was very Jordan Peele styled. I don't know whether any of you have seen the movie Us, but it was very similar to that. Like, not themed, but it just had a similar kind of vibe to it. So that was called, I'm just going to look up that movie actually. Yeah, The Strays. So it's a 2023 British horror thriller, written and directed by a guy named Nathaniel Martello White. It's his directorial debut. Okay, so here's the synopsis that's got on the internet for it. A light-skinned black woman's meticulously crafted life of privilege starts to unravel when two strangers show up to her quaint suburban town. I'm not going to tell you any more than that because I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but trust me, watch it. It's almost in three parts, so there's almost three chapters to it, and the final chapter is intense. And the ending of it is just like, you kind of like, did that just happen? Did that just happen? Did that just happen? So anyway, I just wanted to touch in, give a quick update where I've been. I'm back. We've got more episodes of the podcast coming. This is just a really quick one. Fill you all in. I've got plenty more interesting things up my sleeve. But yeah, I will talk to you very soon. Bye.